1 Samuel 18. Let's see if we can get through this with the help, Holy Spirit of God, and a little bit of your help. All right? Some of you yawning already. I ain't even start preaching. 1 Samuel 18. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out with his servant Saul, sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servant. Father, bless the preaching of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I want to give you three phases of David's life in three consecutive chapters, and then give you an aspect of David's life that helped him make it through one of the toughest phases of his life. In 1 Samuel 16, we see David as the anointed one. God has chosen him to be the next king in Israel. His predecessor is sitting on the throne while he's chosen. So David is selected by God, but he has to exercise some patience. Because even though he's already been chosen, he will not actually sit on the throne yet. Now there is some credence in that. Because not everything God has promised you do you have right now. And some believers are not capable of accepting a word of promise from God if it is not enacted immediately. So number one, 1 Samuel 16, he's the anointed one. 1 Samuel 17, we see him as the accomplished one. He walks up on the scene and Goliath is taunting the armies of God, but in essence, he's criticizing God. David is not even intending to enter the battle. But he walks up, overhears, and sees something that troubles his spirit. And you know, long story short, by the end of this chapter, he has stepped forward, he has fought Goliath, defeated Goliath, beheaded Goliath, and become the champion in Israel. Now follow the phase now. He is anointed in chapter 16. He is accomplished in chapter 17. Now watch it now. In chapter 16, he's unbeknownst to Saul as anointed. In chapter 17, Saul likes him because he has won the battle and Saul is to reward him. But watch it now. By the time he transitions from anointed in 16, accomplished in 17, he becomes attacked in 18. And to the mind of logic, it really doesn't make sense. I wasn't seeking fame. I wasn't seeking fortune. I had no aspirations for the palace or for the throne, minding my business, obeying my father, watching my sheep, doing my job in the background, behind the scenes, faithfully doing what I'm supposed to do. God sent his prophet to anoint me. Hey, when God comes and finds you for anointing, when you're not looking for it, that's a blessing from God. In chapter 17, he didn't go looking for a battle. He went obeying his father. And by the way, you will always find opportunities to champion for God when you submit to ordinary obedience. So in chapter 17, he is a champion who is accomplished. But by chapter 18, the accomplishments of David and the accolades of David are now being applauded. And the servants and the people and the soldiers and the population of the Jews are all applauding David more than they are applauding Saul, so anointed and accomplished David now becomes attacked David. And what amazes me about the scripture is that not during necessarily his anointing or his accomplishing do we see what surfaces in chapter 18, but at the time in David's life when he became attacked, God added another aspect to his life. And he was not only the anointed David, accomplished David, and attacked David, but in 1 Samuel 18, he became the accompanied David. God gave him somebody to stand by his side, to stand in his corner. And if you would, just to stand. Sometimes we don't only need somebody to stand by us and stand behind us. Sometimes we just need somebody to stand with us. Somebody say amen. And God gives anointed David, accomplished David, but attacked David and accompanied David. Now he understands that David, where you are now is totally different than where your destiny is. But I'm going to give you a friend, and that friend is going to accompany you to your destiny. I want us to consider the essence of friendship tonight with that context in mind. By defining, this is not Webster's dictionary, this is just my definition in context of this message. You and I need friends who will not just be friends in title, friends in status, friends in accomplishment, friends when convenient, friends in good weather, friends in favorable situations, friends when they are the recipient of what you give them. However, we need friends who will merely be people who will accompany us to destiny. You say, Pastor, what's the big deal? I'll tell you what the big deal is. Every one of us has a destiny. You may not know it. You may not even discover it, but you have one. God said, Jeremiah, before I formed thee, I knew thee and have ordained thee to be a prophet. And that's not a Jeremiah-like syndrome. That is the status of every believer. David said, my substance was not hid from thee when I was curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my members when as yet being unperfect, there were none of them. I will praise thee for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works and that my soul knoweth right well. Listen to me. Thy thoughts are more than the sand of the sea. If I should try to count them, how precious are thy thoughts unto me. You know what David was saying? Long before they slotted me on the sonogram, before I had fingers, before they picked out a name, before the test said pregnant, please understand that the God of the universe saw me, knew me, saw me, and ordained me. That's destiny. Now watch it now. You've heard me say it. Brother Kerry Schmidt out in Los Angeles, California, formed it like this. Destiny is when who you are meets why you are. When who you are meets why you are, and they meet together. That's the fullest expression of destiny. That's the perfect will of God. Now, here's what I need. I need somebody that will walk beside me, not just when I go where they want me to go, but somebody who will walk beside me as I go where God wants me to go. That's friendship. And we've got to get away from colloquialisms and cliches and borrowed analogies from the world that are worthless and fair weather. And we have to get back to the essence of what God defines and what God delivers. And my friend, I will tell you something. In a world where one of the most loosely used terms in society is misused and often taken advantage of. God give us believers who, on the backdrop of salvation and the wisdom of Almighty God, have stepped to a level in an area of life that is so critical, that is so integral, that is so important, and that is the area of friendship. For years and years, I've preached teen conferences, the youth conferences, and all kinds of conferences for that matter. But I've said for years, one of the most critical, pervasive, one of those permeating issues with young people is the issue of music. Music will destroy a life if the wrong kind of music is involved in the life of a young person, by the way, of any person for that matter. But as I preach more and more to young people and to adults, I've changed my stance on what is the biggest issue. I believe today that bigger than the issue of music in the lives of young people is the issue of friends. Because oftentimes your bad music came from your bad friends. And truth be told, music oftentimes is the result or the byproduct of wrong associations. Be not deceived, 1 Corinthians 15. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Proverbs 13 and 20. He that walk with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. David said in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In Psalm 119, he said, I am a companion of all them that fear thee. Listen, beloved, you and I have got to quit embracing people because we like the same team, we like the same food, we're drawn to the same clothes, we're on the same ball team, we sing in the same section in church, and we've got to start identifying with Amos's prophecy. Can two walk together except they be agreed? We must lock into destiny and identify with those who will accompany us to that place. So from 1 Samuel chapter 18 and 19 and 20, I'd like to give you 7 quick points of real friends that accompany us to destiny. Now, maybe from this aspect, you need to admit, Pastor, I don't know what my destiny is. Well, to me, that would still be something very important in my mind that said to me, I probably shouldn't have friends who don't know what theirs is either. Real friends that accompany us to destiny. Number one, 1 Samuel 18, the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. Number one, real friends have a connection in the soul. Real friends have a connection in the soul. Now watch this now. Here's biblical language. The soul of David was knit with the soul of Saul. I mean, you know why people who used to be friends don't seem to be friends anymore? Because they were hooked up at the wrong spot. Somebody say amen. A threefold cord is not so easily broken. You know what that means? If you're going to tie a knot, you better tie it to the right place. And if you are hooked together because of social status, if you're hooked together because of stage in life, if you're hooked together because of similar crises, and you're not joined together at the soul, something that happens in life will break y'all up. Say, Pastor, what's the big deal about the soul? Here's the big deal. Soul is the inner person. Soul is the true person. Soul is who you really are. Soul is defined as mind, emotions, and will. It is who you are. Listen now, you need to have somebody walking beside you that is in touch with you more than similar clothing styles and more than similar fads or trends. You need to have somebody who's connected to your mind, connected to your emotions, connected to your will, and thereby will follow you in your pursuit of destiny. Secondly, not only connected in the soul, but Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Compassion that is sincere. Watch this now. You need friends who possess real love. And I'd like to talk to some of you young people. And I'd like to talk to you, some of you single adults. Don't fall for the fake stuff. Listen to me. Don't fall for the fake stuff. Compassion that is sincere means this. It means you love me like you love yourself. Now, break through that long list of what you label as friends and tell me how many of them you feel that way about. Or you feel that way about you. They love me. Wait a minute. They're connected in the soul, but they love you like they love their own soul. What is compassion? Love in action. Compassion has a strong distinction from sympathy. Sympathy is feeling sorry for someone. Compassion is being burdened so much about it, you're going to do something about it. How many of your friends do you have that say, oh, I feel so sorry for you, and that's it? Friends at a company, listen, when you're headed to destiny and your accomplishments bring on a myriad of attacks, you need somebody that will give you more than just a ride, a card, a gift, a loan. You need somebody that will give you their soul. Paul said, Church of Corinth, there is a more excellent way. And love is the more excellent way. Amen. Thirdly, we're moving right along. Here's one that's not very status quo-ish. Saul took him that day, would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant. Here's real friendship that accompanies you to destiny. Connection in the soul, compassionate and sincere. Number three, a covenant that is serious. You know, watch this now. What's the right word? I've been looked at through a very interesting microscope when I have said to people that I view friendship like a contract. Now watch this now. If all friendship really is a contract, then there are a whole bunch of you that have breached with your quote unquote friends. You know what that means? That means You turned out doing something to them that you promised you wouldn't do when you first came friends. They went into covenant. What do you mean? And I don't have time to demonstrate walking the figure eight and the blood covenant and all of this and the picture of it. But I'm just simply trying to say to you that when these guys cooked up, this wasn't, hey, you know, you're my boy because, you know, we live in the same neighborhood. It was, I'm with you and you're with me and there's no chance of breaking this. How many friends you got like that? What's the big deal, Pastor? Here's the big deal. The big deal is God has ordained a destiny for your life. He has customized a blueprint for your life. He has a perfect plan for your life. Watch this now. And if your friends are not dialed in by way of covenant and contract, they will deter you, distract you, disturb you, depress you. They will dethrone you from where you need to be with God. Watch this now. Not only by breaking their contract, but they will also mess you up if they enter a contact with you and they're no good. Here's where believers mess up. One, they will not contractually enter into friendship with the right people. And two, they do contractually enter friendship with the wrong people. Watch this now. Some of you in here today are further from destiny than you could be because you signed the dotted line with a bozo. And that bozo affects your faithfulness to God, your view of preaching, your relationship with your parents, or your pastor, or your leaders, or people who really actually do care about you. And they have sown the seed. For some of you, the most quality time that you spend with good people is sitting in a pew at church. And we only call that quality comparatively to the time you spend with everybody else. But truth be told, there's very little interaction. But we put it in the quality compartment of your statistics because it's the closest thing we can find to it. And yet you're governed. You're governed by way too much excessive quality time with no gooders. Hear me now. Young people, listen. I don't care how much you think you have in common. If this person decelerates your pursuit to your destiny, they got to go. Don't date him because he's cute. Date him because he's walking with you towards your destiny. Listen. And break up with him because he's not. Or her. Amen. I don't want the ladies to think that it's only ladies pursuing their destiny and guys slowed him down. But I've seen a lot of guys that were headed well off to, on the road to destiny about whom ladies slowed him down. And nowadays we got ladies slowing down with other ladies. And men, that's a whole nother message. But I'm just simply saying, you certainly can't be pursuing destiny and homosexuality. And listen, that's not an attack on a person. That's an attack on sin. If you stay around this church long enough, you'll find out there's plenty of other sins I'll attack. I'm talking about somebody who is accompanying you by way of covenant. Now watch this next one. Since we're in covenant, since we have entered into a binding contract, here you go, David. Robe, verse 4. Garments, sword, bow, girdle. Now watch this. Friends are those who have connection in the soul, compassion that is sincere, covenant that is serious. Number 4, contributions that are selfless. Now wait a minute. In this instance, I'm not just asking you to evaluate what kind of friends you have. I'm asking you to evaluate what kind of friend you are. Now, I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but I'm just speaking generally across the board. Most friendship is built, maintained, and oftentimes established on what I can get out of you. And you will discover how quickly your so-called friends will abandon you when you stop feeding them, clothing them. But you will also find out that if that person really is your friend, you won't have problems doing it. And the reason why you won't have problems doing it, because that person is a true friend who doesn't have problems doing it for you. Now, here's the amazing thing about 1 Samuel. He gave him his robe, his girdle, his bow, his clothes. It's yours. Now watch this now. No strings attached. When last time you gave somebody something and they want nothing back? If you are a friend and always on the receiving end, you're a bad one. And talk to somebody who's had a lot of volunteer friends. I mean, I've had a lot of them. They sign up and took a buzzer. And when you break off that never ending supply, watch how quick they're gone. Tell you something. You don't want to know the only thing worse than a hustler? A Christian hustler. You take a worldly hustler, I can deal with that. But you find me, you find you a skilled one who has known, who has figured out how to color their hustling with scriptural terminology. And you're talking about a trifling somebody. They have learned to prey on the love, the godly love in other people as a catalyst for the laziness in themselves. Somebody help me preach. I'm just trying to tell you that Jonathan took his stuff and gave it to David on his own volition. David didn't say, oh man, you the king, son. Hand me that bow. You know you got as many as you want up in the palace. Wait a minute now. I'm going to tell you why I'm troubled about Christian people. Oh, pastor. Like Elton said, hallelujah. Watch this now. I feel something coming here. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm pastor in this church. I worry about Christian people who seem to have a keen eye for other people who have stuff. Yeah. And as a pastor, let me just give you a little break off of my perspective that I see that you can't see. Some of you have a radar for new members who appear to be prosperous, and you gravitate towards them. That's not friendship. That's triflingness, sis, what's that happened was something. I'm telling you, that's what it is. I don't like comments like this. Get me, hey, get this for me. I know you got it. I don't like that. That's trifling. You say, Pastor, that's in the text. Oh, it's in there. It's in there. He gave him his stuff and didn't want anything back for it. And you never find David kissing up to him just because he was the king's son. Before he ever got anything tangible from Jonathan, he got Jonathan's soul. And some of you ought to be content to come to church 3 times a week and get nothing that you can put in your account from somebody and just be content that you got their soul. That's real Christianity. And I worry that people have been burned so much in the world and come here and what they got burned like in the world don't look like nothing to how they get burned in the church, because you got signifying, sanctifying, blessed, highly favored, filled with the Holy Ghost believers who with borrowed Pharisaical language are sowing the seed of deception in the lives of people with a handout every time they're looking for something. Because somebody told you that what's the name got something. They ain't broke. Somebody said they got something. Well, let them enjoy it. Christian hustler. I teach my kids, and they're still learning it, but I teach them. And I teach my big sons that we brought in our home. Every once in a while, just because, you ought to turn down things people often. Amen. So you don't program your mind to always say yes to everything. One of the most godly words you ever learn is no thank you. You know, I've been starving at times and turned down a free meal. Starving. You know why? Because I don't want people to think that they always have to take care of me. Pastor, you preaching now. I'm trying to. Contributions that are selfless. I could really preach a series on this, but I'm not going to. I don't want the hustlers to get up and mad and leave. All right, now number five. And we have them. Crossroads got them. Okay, we have them. We have them. And I'm saying that because I want you to know who you are. All the rest of them already do. So look, 1 Samuel 19. You're the last one to find out you're hustling. 1 Samuel 19. But ask us. We'll tell you. We've been known. 1 Samuel 19. Saul spake to Jonathan his son, to all his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now watch this now.
friendship, connection in the soul, compassion that is sincere, covenant that is serious, contributions that are selfless. So watch this now. Concern about the other's safety. Let me tell you what good friends do. They know that danger lurks and they protect their friends. Watch it now. Look at me. Look at me, all you young people. When your girlfriend stands up here pregnant and you knew she was messing around and you didn't care enough about her to tell her that's not good for her, don't come up here rubbing her back. You're not a good friend. And you didn't tell her mama, and you didn't tell the church to pray for her, and you got a young man that's out there partying and drinking, and when he comes up here, you on the altar praying. No, let's get somebody spiritual praying with him. Because if you can't love somebody and say, don't go there, man, don't do that, girl, don't watch that, you're not a good friend. And parents want to let their kids hang with people who protect their safety. We've got kids in this church who wouldn't have fallen if their friends had helped them. The biggest disappointment, and when I watched on CNN the Whitney Houston funeral, was all her friends that showed up when she was dead, that let her string out on crack and weren't there then. Oh, Whitney was so. Where were you when Whitney was messed up? Hush. Hey, man, amen. Your enemy has planned a plot against you, and I'm telling you about it. Don't go to that spot. He's going to kill you. Don't drink that. Don't smoke that. Don't watch that. Don't click on that. Hey, you know what, buddy? I'm a friend on your Facebook page, and I've seen stuff that's not becoming for a Christian. And instead of just not saying nothing to you, I'm going to tell you about yourself. Why? Because you're headed for danger. You headed for danger. You may come to play for my daddy, but wear your tennis shoes so when he throw that javelin, you can move fast. Come on now. I'm so simple. You got to walk out in this crazy world, but be armed with the whole armor of God so that when the devil does throw the fiery darts, you at least brought your shield of faith with you. Concerned about safety. I'm almost done. Two more. Communication that is supportive. Watch this now. Verse 4. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul, his father. I never seen so many friends run each other down. You know, I hear a statement sometime, and my response to the statement is, I thought that was your boy. I thought y'all hung out. Well, with friends like that, who needs enemies? Well, messy people, easy to find. Here's what Jonathan said. That's my friend. So you know what? Every chance I get, I'm going to speak highly of him to my daddy. Hey, daddy, that David. And by the way, he wasn't lying. Everything he said good about David was true. But it was the fact that he looked for opportunities to support his friend through communication when he wasn't with his friend. You know, secondhand praise is much more, in my opinion, secondhand praise is much more fulfilling than firsthand praise. And let me demonstrate. Somebody saying to me, Pastor, I really enjoy, and by the way, people come up to me and say, Pastor, that message really meant a lot to me. Let me tell you something. That encourages my heart. It really blesses my heart. But you know what encourages me even more than somebody saying it to me? Is when a son of mine comes home and says, my bus captain said it to me about you. Because you know, I found out people feel pressured to say things to you when it's direct. But when they're saying it to someone else about you, you know it's coming from their heart. That's what encourages me. That somebody's actually talking good about me when my eyes aren't there to intimidate them. And David was getting bragged on by his friend when he wasn't in the presence of his friend. By the way, our closest friends should be our spouses. And the Proverbs 31 woman spent time in the streets bragging on her friend, her husband. This is free. But when you're best friends with your spouse and you're running your spouse down to your other friends, one of them is not your friend. It's not good. You say, why don't I run my spouse? Because that's my best friend. Part of me sometimes wants to go up to people and say, that person that you supposed to be your friend, not your friend, but I try to stay out of. What happens is oftentimes they find out through a bad situation. I thought you were my friend. All this time. And this is why my wife said, tell me all the time, you're so hard on social media and Facebook. And it's not that I'm telling you that it's sin, but I'm telling you this. This Twitter. Thank you. Facebook. EveryMe. Instagram. All of it. It breeds friendship wreckage. If your Facebook page is devoted to that which is good to the use of edifying, and it's used to disseminate good information and to get you in contact with more people where thereby you can be a better Christian, then God bless you. But it's a whole lot of people in this here church who do not use their social media for that purpose. And fortunately, your pastor is not privy to your pages because he doesn't have one. But he seems to be extremely privy to the comments on your pages from people who do have one. And I'm amazed at how many Rottweilers are on Facebook that transform into Chihuahuas in person. That just means they talk bad when they're typing and talk nothing when they're confronting. And it's just, it has destroyed. I had a person tell me, he said, I'm done with it. He said, I lost too many friends. It almost destroyed my marriage by getting in the comments and foolishness with all these people over social media. 11 hours and 23 minutes a day, the average teenager spends on some form of social media. And by the way, this ain't the message I'm closing, but a whole lot of it is so chauvinistic and egotistical. What is the point of loading up pictures of yourself every day? The only one interested in a picture of you knows what you look like. It's you, all right? And I'm telling you, there's an over-exaggerated opinion of oneself when I feel the need and the impulse, the insatiable impulse of having to let people see me in different veins every day. And even sometimes doing something stupid. My children just said, oh, Daddy said a bad word. Doing something silly. And then take a picture of it and send it out for everybody. It's not good. It messes up friendships. And there are people in the church who listen to you brag on how tight a friendship you have with your friend, and they're laughing. They listen to you testify about your walk with the Lord, and you're a joke. Because your social media exploits are contradictory to your sanctified testimonials. Communication that is supportive. And lastly, commitment that stays. I'm closing here with this verse. Chapter 20. Verse 23. The Lord, last part. The Lord be between thee and me forever. 42. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Here's where these fellas parted because of circumstances, because danger would not allow them to cohabitate, to be in the same place. But this is how they ended. Let our covenant and our bond be permanent forever. You know what real friendship is? I'm going with you all the way. Now, when I narrow down my list of friends by that criterion, how quickly the long list gets short. But I used to have a saying on my wall that said this: I don't need a certain number of friends, just a number of friends I can be certain of. You want me to tell you how foreverish that covenant was? That after Saul and Jonathan were dead, David was still treating their seed right. Bless you, my friend. You want to know when you can tell yourself that was really your friend? When they're dead and you're treating people that were kin to them the way you treated them. And I'll be honest with you, I take friendship very seriously. I've never been accused of being a bad friend. And I hope I never am. It means a lot to me. I love my friends, always have. And I thank the Lord that on the road to destiny, God has always given me friends that I need. And the right kind of friends. And by the way, God gives you discernment. Sometimes you don't tell them, but in your heart, you know they ain't the truth, man. You just kind of give up on by it. But the best way to have good friends is to be a good friend. A man to have friends must show himself friend. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. By the way, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother is ultimately Jesus Christ. But in context of that verse, it was simply saying there are friends that get closer to you than even brothers do. And it's really referring to human beings. That's the context. Christ ultimately fulfills that. But God gives us friends like Jonathan and Saul, where the love between them was stronger than even love between a man and woman. Strong. Maybe tonight, let's look in. I don't want you to develop a hit list. Hello? Where are you? I stepped outside of service. What's day of invitation, but I had to get this to you while it was hot on my mind. We can't be friends no more. Pastor had 7 points and you flunked all of them. If he had given 6 more, you'd have flunked them too. Bye-bye. I'm not asking you. I'm not asking you to formulate a hit list. I'm asking you to hold the mirror of the Word of God in front of yourself and say, where do I fare on friendship? Who am I accompanying to destiny? And then who thereby is accompanying me to mine? Father, thank you for your precious word.